Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together. It is well with my soul because we are in His presence. If we can just get into the presence of God, whatever our problem might be, we will find the solution in the person of Jesus. What adversity are you experiencing in your life today? What is that thing that's bothering you? What's causing you the greatest concern in your life today? Is it something at work? Maybe a boss? Maybe a co-worker? Maybe it's something in your family? Maybe it's finances? Maybe it's your children? Maybe it's your parents? Maybe it's a brother or a sister? Maybe it's your spouse? What's causing you the greatest concern in your life today? Now think about it. All of us have some concerns. What's that one thing that's on your heart this morning? I want you to know that in that concern, in that burden, God desires to do the ministry, to work the ministry of death through that. Today God has directed me to talk about the ministry of death. And you may say, preacher, I've heard of a lot of ministries in my life, but the ministry of death? Next thing we'll be calling a staff member and he'll be not the minister of music, but the minister of death. What do you mean, ministry of death? Well, Paul talks about the ministry of death over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now I want you to know that the Christian life has a lot to do with the ministry of death. And God is working that ministry of death in your life, and it will greatly benefit you in your Christian walk if you'll understand the ministry of death. Paul had some adversity in his life. And we read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Now that's adversity. Then he talks about the ministry of death. Verse 10 and 11 and 12. "Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." Paul is speaking of the ministry of death. Well, what is the ministry of death? Well, first we need to remember that the Bible speaks of death as separation, not as cessation. As separation, not as cessation. When the Bible speaks of spiritual death, it means that the spirit of man is separated from God, not that the spirit of man ceases to be. A person who is spiritually dead still has a spirit. It's just separated from God. The Bible speaks of physical death as the separation of the body and the spirit. When the spirit leaves that body, your human body, then you will die physically. Now, your life does not cease. You're still alive, you're just not physically alive. But you are still an immortal soul. And so the Bible speaks of death as separation, not as cessation. And so the ministry of death could be called the ministry of separation. It is that work of God in our lives whereby God separates us from the self-life so that He can manifest the life of Christ in us. You see, God's desire for your life, if you're a Christian, is to conform you to the image of Christ. He wants the life of Jesus to come through your life. He wants other people to see Jesus in you. He wants the life of Christ to so be revealed and uncovered in your life that when people see you, they're seeing Jesus. And the ministry of death is the way God accomplishes this work. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ," the image of His Son. That's God's purpose for you. Now look at it like this, an example. Say we have an antique mahogany table, and this table over the years has been waxed, and the dirt and the grime and the wax has built up on the table for so many years that you can barely see the grain. In fact, somebody decided one day to paint the table. So it's covered with paint and grime and grit and wax. And the refinisher comes to this table. And do you know what he wants to do? He wants to get down to that grain. He wants to reveal that beautiful mahogany grain that's on that wood, but it's covered by the dirt and the grime and the wax and the paint. And so what he does is he separates the paint and the wax and the grime and the dirt from the wood. We call that stripping. He strips away. He separates all of that so that the wood and its beautiful grain might come through. Well, that's what God does in the ministry of death in the life of a Christian. You see, if you're a Christian, Christ is living in you. But the life of Christ is not shown through your life because it's covered over with layers of your self-life, layers of pride, layers of unbelief, layers of selfishness, layers of materialism, layers of insecurities, layers of worldliness. And all of those layers of self-life are hindering people from seeing the life of Jesus is in you. And so what God does is through the ministry of death, He strips away, He peels off the self-life that you might get down to the life of Christ and His life might be manifested through you. In fact, the word manifested in verses 10 and 11, look at verse 10, "Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body." The word manifest in the Greek means to uncover. It means to lay bare. It means to make visible. It means to reveal. And so in the ministry of death, God is peeling back, separating the self-life in order that the life of Jesus might be revealed and might come forth and people might see Jesus in you. If you know of someone that the life of Christ shines through, when you're around them, you just sense the love, the life of Christ, you can be sure that person has been through the ministry of death many times. God's ways are innumerable. The ministry of death may come through the death of a loved one. It may come through some accident. It may come through some problem at work. It may come through some family problem. I mean, there are innumerable ways and means that God will use, but the direction and the goal of the ministry of death is all the same. And that is that God is separating us from those attitudes, those traits, those characteristics of the self-life that are displeasing to Him, and resurrecting the life of Christ in their place. Jesus talked about the ministry of death when He said in John 15:2, "Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it might bear more fruit." That's the ministry of death. You're bearing fruit in the Christian life, God's going to prune you. And what do you do when you prune? You cut back, you cut away, so that more fruit can come forth. That's the ministry of death. Psalm 66, and hold your place in 2 Corinthians, and turn to Psalm 66. The psalmist talks about the ministry of death. Psalm 66. Beginning with verse 10. The psalmist says, "For thou..." Who is thou? He's talking about God. He says, "But thou hast tried us, O God. Thou hast refined us as silver is refined." You know how silver is refined? In the fire. It's melted, and the impurities are burned off. And it's done repeatedly to continue to burn off the impurities until you have pure silver. But it's in the fire, it's in the heat that silver is refined. And the psalmist says, "God, you're refining us. You've got us in the fire. You've got us in the furnace. You're refining us like silver." Verse 11, "Thou did bring us into the net. Thou did lay an oppressive burden upon our loins. Thou did make men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet thou did bring us out into a place of abundance." That's the life of Christ, the place of abundance. The ministry of death is the horses riding over their head, going through the fire, going through the water, the oppressive burden. That's the stripping away of the self-life, that the life of Christ might be resurrected. The ministry of death. It works this way. God desires for you to have patience. And so you find yourself in a situation where you must learn patience. You have a spouse that's chronically slow. There you are, sitting in the car, ready to go. It's time to go. They're still in the house. God knows only what they're doing. I mean, when you left, they looked like they were ready to walk out the door, right? And you're out there in the car, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you want to hit that horn, beep, 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 beep. Learning patience. God wants you to learn patience. He puts you in a situation where you have to trust Him, where you have to lean on Him for that patience. You don't have it in yourself. You recognize you don't, but you trust Him for it. You lean, you look to Him for it, and guess what? God brings forth that patience, and He is manifesting the life of Christ in you. And He is conforming you to the life of Christ. Amen. You'll notice God's perfect planning. I noticed when I mentioned that about patience, almost every couple smiled. And you know, that's the way it is. God doesn't put two chronically late people in the same family. They'd never get anywhere. And so God puts one that wants to be on time and one that's late, and then we have the ministry of death, right? Okay. See, it's a divine plan that y'all got together like this. Okay. So God is working the ministry to conform us to the image of Christ. Again, what is the ministry of death? It is that work of God in our lives whereby He separates us from the self-life and resurrects in its place the life of Christ. Now let's see what Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. About the ministry of death. We've already read through verse 12. Beginning with verse 13, he continues to talk about this ministry of death. "But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore also we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the light momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now there are basically two types of situations in which God works the ministry of death in the believer. The first situation is what I call the chronic situations. Those situations in which we must constantly, by faith, apply the principles of God's Word. You must constantly, over and over again, apply and reapply the principles of God's Word in that situation so that He can manifest the life of Christ in you. You see, Jesus lived by the principles of God's Word. Jesus' life was a living out of the Word of God. Therefore, when you live the principles of God in your life, you're being like Jesus. You're being conformed to the image of Christ when you live the principles of God's Word. And so God places us in chronic situations, that is, they are constant, where we must over and over again apply the principles of God's Word in that situation. Now, your first point under that A is that God wants you to obediently apply His Word. The key word is obediently apply His Word in your situation. Again, Jesus was perfectly obedient to God's Word. And when we are forced into situations and we must decide if we're going to obey God or not, and we choose to obey God, then we're being like Jesus. You ever thought about that? Every time you choose to obey God, you are being like Christ. And so God brings situations, chronic situations, where you must not only obey God one time, but you must obey Him over and over and over again in that situation. And in so doing, you become like Christ. An example of that might be that you find yourself facing financial difficulties. Maybe you have been in the financial pressure cooker for some time now. But you find yourself in that financial crunch and you've got to make a choice. Do I tithe? Do I give a tenth? Trusting God? Obeying God? Or do I choose not to do that and draw back? And you choose by faith and obedience to give that tenth even though you're in a financial crunch because you know that's what God wants you to do. You are being like Christ. And the next time, the crunch is still there. And the next time, the crunch is still there. And you think, Lord, how long is this crunch going to last? How long am I going to feel this financial pressure in my life? But every time you choose to obediently follow the principles of God's Word and give, you are being conformed to the image of Christ. Maybe you have a spouse who's not a Christian. And you are praying and praying and praying for that person's salvation. And you've been praying for years. And you're not seeing anything going on. Will you continue to pray? Will you make a decision to continue to pray for that spouse as God has directed you to do? Or will you stop and give up? When you choose to obey and follow the principle of God's Word of prayer, and you're being conformed to the image of Christ. Maybe there's a person who continually sins against you. I mean, they just got it out for you. Will you continue to forgive that person as God's Word teaches we are to do? Will you continue to exercise that principle of forgiveness and so be conformed to the image of Christ? Even though they repeatedly, constantly, in a chronic situation seem to be against you and say things about you that aren't true and right, if you do, and God's working that ministry of death in your life to conform you to the image of Christ. And then the second key word is continually by faith apply the principles of God's Word. I mean, not only obediently, but faithfully applying the principles. I mean, you can't see any results in what you're doing. And you think, man, I don't think it's working. Well, it never does work. He works. Amen. And He works when He's ready to work, not on your timetable. It's for us to obey, to faithfully obey the Word of God, and it is for God to decide when He wants to work in a way that we see it. Because He's working even when we do not see it. His Spirit is at work. We just may not be seeing the results yet. And so we're in those chronic situations that we must continually, by faith, apply the principles of God's Word, trusting that He is working. Paul talks about this over in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. Turn to chapter 12. Paul had a chronic illness. And many times this ministry of death is worked out in a person's life through a chronic illness. It can be a heart problem, might be a stroke where they're left partially paralyzed. But because of a constant physical infirmity and difficulty, you must look to God and trust Him constantly. It's the constancy of it that we see coming out. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had some infirmity, and we don't know what it was, but it was bad enough that he pleaded with God to take it away from him, to remove it from him. But God's answer to Paul was not that he would take it away, but verse 9, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" God's answer to Paul was, "No, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. That's not my plan for your life. My plan for your life is to use this to work the ministry of death. And that is, in your weakness, in your physical weakness, when you realize, I can't keep going, man, this is just wearing me down. In your physical weakness, when you realize you're nothing, then my power is going to be perfected in you. And that power translates to the ministry and the life of Jesus in us." Now, most of us don't like the weakness. We run from it. We do everything we can to stay out of those situations where we feel inadequate and where we feel insufficient and where we feel weak. But you know what Paul's attitude was once he saw God was working the ministry of death in this situation? Look what he says there in verse 9. "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake." And why was he so happy and well content? There it is. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul says, "Now that I know the ministry of death and what God's doing, I'm glad when I'm weak because I know that that's where the real strength begins. The life of Christ comes out when my life is broken away." Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul knew the constancy of a chronic situation. Paul says in verse 8, "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus." Verse 11, "For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." In this body, Paul says we're constantly dying to self. Man, we're being persecuted. But he says, though we're being persecuted, look, we are not forsaken. He said we're being struck down. But though we're struck down, we're not being destroyed. He says we are being perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're being afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Why wasn't he crushed? Why was he not despairing? Why was he not struck down? Why was he not destroyed? Because he realized in those situations, God was manifesting the life of Christ in him. God was doing the work of the ministry of death. And because of that, he could rejoice in it. So the first situations are those chronic situations. The second type of situations that God works the ministry of death are those situations that are beyond our abilities and strength. Those situations that are just greater than we have the ability to cope with. Look in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians for this. In verse 8 through 10, I believe Paul's speaking of this type of situation. I mean, it's where our resources come to the limit. The situation is out of our control. There's nothing we can do. We've done everything we know to do and it's just not working. Verse 8, Paul says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Paul says we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. He's talking about situations where God strips us of everything to lean on. Every prop is knocked out from under us, and the only one we can lean on is Him. We are stranded on God's omnipotence. Those are the situations he's talking about. Because some of us, probably most of us, will lean on everything else except God. We will trust in everything else but God. Only as a last resort do we flee to Him. Of course, that should be our first resort, shouldn't it? But God knows us, and so He brings us in those situations where He knocks every prop out. I mean, everything we try fails. It's out of our control. There's nothing we can do about it. It may well be in somebody else's hands, but it's not in ours. And what we have to do is trust God. We are stranded on His omnipotence. And God is working that ministry of death in us so that we will trust Him and not ourselves. Look what Paul says in verse 9. Indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God is working in our life to bring forth that truth in Jeremiah 17:7, our verse for the month. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. And God teaches us in these situations that He is our trust, our only trust. Paul may be referring in this passage to fighting with wild beasts in Ephesus. Or he might be referring to that time he was beaten with a whip, 39 lashes, 40 being the death sentence. He might be talking about the riots that occurred in Ephesus, instigated by Demetrius in Acts 19. But Paul experienced many situations in his own life that were outside of his control. When he was in that Philippian jail, down in the deepest part of the jail, the dungeon, the maximum security section, he had shackles around his hands and shackles around his feet. He was bound. There was no way he could do anything to help himself. It was an impossible situation. When Paul was on that ship in the storm, and the sun had not shone for a period of over a week, and all, even the seasoned sailors had given up all hope of even being able to live through this. A situation out of his control totally. Paul's life was filled with these situations where he was beyond his ability. And there was nothing he could do. And he said, God brought these in my life so that we would learn to trust Him and not in ourselves. God does that work through those situations that are beyond our control. Maybe your situation is that way. Maybe the adversity you're going through is that way this morning. You realize there's really nothing you can do. I mean, it's out of your control. God has brought you there so that you will realize He is your hope. He alone is your hope and your salvation. Lean on Him. Trust God to work in His way, in His time, to His glory. Now, what does God purpose to do in the ministry of death? Let me give you these. Back to stay with chapter 1 for this first one. God's purpose is to increase our trust and dependency on Him. Second thing God wants to do is He wants to bring us to experience His power. Paul speaks of this in chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is, we have the truth of the gospel in this body, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. That's why God has entrusted to us the work of ministry, to us who are weak, so that His power might be made known as He works through us. You ever thought, man, why is it that when a person becomes a Christian, immediately they have no more problems the rest of their life, they're never sick after that, they never have any difficulties, everything is just smooth sailing. Why doesn't God do that? Because He wants His power to be manifested. And do you know where God's power is manifested in your life the most? Not where you're strong, where you're weak. Where you're weak. And so God has entrusted the ministry of reconciliation. He's entrusted the ministry to us, earthen vessels, that in our weakness, His power would be known. That's where you know the power of God, in your weakness. And so when God's working in your life to show you where you're weak, don't resist it. Don't run from it. Don't get mad. Don't get bitter. Don't get upset. But praise God for it, because He is at work bringing it about. All right, number three. He desires to displace the self-life and replace it with the life of Christ. Verse 11. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. And I think he's talking about not physical death so much, although that is involved in it, as death to the self-life. That the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Fourth purpose God has is to bring glory to His name. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, for the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And then number five, to produce eternal rewards for you. Verse 17. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Do you realize when God does a ministry of work in your death, in the self-life, that layer of pride or that layer of unbelief or that layer of fear or whatever is peeled away and the life of Christ is manifested, do you realize that increases your rewards in heaven? It does. And so look forward to what God's doing through all of this. Not only is He manifesting the life of Christ in you and making you more like Jesus, but He's also increasing the eternal weight of glory that awaits you in heaven. He's increasing your rewards through all of this. Now, what should be our response to the ministry of death when it comes? First, believe God is using this situation to manifest Christ in your life. Verse 13, Paul says, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak." We also speak, therefore we believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Christ and will present us with you. Believe God's using it. Believe God is working in your situation. Secondly, give thanks. Verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, for this grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound." Give thanks. Thank God that He's working the ministry of death in your life. And then number three, do not lose heart. Verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Yes, you're getting older. That outer man is decaying. But praise God, the inner man is being renewed day by day. And don't resist getting old. That's a part of the ministry of death. Man, I realize weaknesses in my life that I didn't realize 20 years ago. And as we get older and we get weaker, we realize we need God even more. And that's a ministry of death. Rejoice in it. Though that outer body is getting weaker, the spirit might be renewed day by day. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. We're talking about eternal benefits. The right response is to say, "It is of God. Let Him do what is good in His sight." It's painful to die. Nobody enjoys dying. It's painful to die to the self-life. It hurts. But without death, there can be no resurrection. Without the death, there can be no manifestation of the life of Christ. Jesus said, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily." You know what that means, take up the cross daily? It means to die daily. Let him die to himself daily. Let him die to the self life daily. And follow me. Or where did he go? He went to the cross. If you follow him, you're going to the cross. Calvary, the place of death. Death to self is the way the life of Christ is manifested in us. You know that's the way the Christian life began in your life? The Christian life began with you dying to self. When you came to a point that you realized that you were separated from a holy God because of your personal sinfulness, you realized your weakness, that you could do nothing to make yourself right with God, that you were under His divine and holy judgment, and that you were helpless to do anything about it. You realized your weakness, but you also realized the power of Christ, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came and lived a perfect life. And He took your place upon Calvary's cross. He died in your place, in your stead. And you came to the place that you said, "Yes, God. No, self. I surrender myself to You, God, recognizing I'm hopeless apart from You. I choose to die to self that I might live to Christ. I say no to sin. I'm willing to turn away from any sin in my life." That's dying to self. And by Your grace, I'll do it. And I say yes to You, Jesus. I want You as Lord of my life. I surrender my will to Your will. And it is in that step, that act of death to self, that the life of Christ is manifested in your life. And you come into His kingdom and experience the forgiveness of sin. Have you ever come to that place in your life that you have said no to self and yes to God? That you have surrendered to Jesus as your personal Lord and boss and King and Master? If not, do so today. For the Bible says that you are under the judgment of God right now if you've not done that. Let's pray. Father, we look to You to take Your word this morning, to direct it into the lives of each person here according to Your sovereign will. May Your Spirit use the imperishable seed of the Word to bring about the new birth, to convict us of wrong attitudes toward the ministry of death that You're doing in our lives. May we see our adversity in a different light. May we welcome Your work. May we receive it in faith and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to make